Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have a twofer. We got our good friend Roger Bennett in studio.
Roger.
And then we have Joe Tessitore. You've heard him many times on all the big games. Tess is also on this show. We're going to talk everything. The NBA playoffs are a big-time bummer now. Hashtag LeBron was right. That was a joke, Hank. Obviously, I was testing to make sure you're listening. You are. We have Hot Seat Cool Throne. We have... Or no. Yeah, Hot Seat Cool Throne. Fuck. I prepared a Who's Back. We have FAQs and a great show coming up. What, Billy? No, don't
Guys on
talk.
Chicks.
Guys on Chicks. Okay, great start to the show.
This is, yeah, awesome.
I'm crushing
Listen,
it.
Listen, we're locked in on Part of My Take.
This was all a test. Anyone who
I got a fucking radar lock
didn't
on sports
listen to this
right
part,
now, bitch.
Yeah, that was a test, and hopefully you passed. Okay, here we go. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by MoneyLion. Bank, borrow, invest, and grow all in one app. MoneyLion, go download it right now in the App Store. Today is Wednesday, June 30th. And I just want to do the Price is Right. Bum, bum, ba-dum. Wow. That's what the NBA playoffs have become. Giannis... I don't know. He, like, broke his leg, ACL, everything.
Yeah, Dr. David PFT says, I personally think it's an MCL, Big Cat.
Yeah, and
I
then,
think he may have escaped without an ACL. But whatever it is, his ligaments are not made out of ligaments. They're made out of, like, rubber bands because it's crazy. Like, my leg would have... My body would have just blown up.
No, I mean...
just given up at that point.
Shoot me like a horse if that happens
Bring
to me.
Bring the tarp out.
Trae Young wasn't even playing in this game. Is LeBron James correct? Will LeBron James do another Instagram post saying he's correct? That's a definite.
I'd actually say that it might. We should give credit to Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller was mega right about resting the players.
Yeah.
You should just. The new formula should be you sign star players and then you just try to win all the playoff series against inferior teams with your role guys and then you put your stars back in for the finals.
Yes. And I listen, Reggie Miller maybe has never seen a catastrophic knee injury, not saying that's what Giannis had, but you can walk with an ACL.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk if you tear your ACL, you can walk if you what you can. Like yep. he was saying, mm-hmm. Oh my God, he's walking off. That means nothing.
Yeah.
That means nothing.
Trae Young is on the bench like jumping around.
Trae Young is jumping around. I still believe, and I know that this has now become there's so many guys injured. That this is, it's the weirdest playoffs ever now that Chris Paul and Paul George are the healthiest guys out there. But
Kevin Huerter.
A lot of these injuries are kind of freak injuries that I don't know if that has anything to do with playing the season with shortened rests off of the bubble. I just think there's a lot of freak injuries. They've happened all at once. Who knows? But it sucks. It's a bummer. The Bucks, it's just a fucking bummer. And I know that everyone was already saying, like, oh, these playoffs are. The best teams are, you know, the Lakers got injured, the Nets got injured. It doesn't really count. It's still an NBA title. If the Bucks had gone through and won the NBA title, like, that still counts. No one gives a fuck about who else is injured. It sucks when you have this happen, and now they're showing Milwaukee, the Deer District. People got to be pretty bummed out.
The dojo.
And I think Giannis right now, so we're watching this with 5 minutes left in the game, and he's sitting on the bench, And I respect what he's doing. He's basically, in his head, he's probably like, if I can just sit on this bench and not have the doctors look at my knee, maybe when I get up, when I stand up, I'll be okay. I've done that many times with like my back and my ankles where I've hurt them. And then I sat down. I'm like, you know what? If I just chill out for a minute, like when I get back up in 20 minutes from now, I'm going to be fine.
I'm currently doing that with my kidneys. I've been doing that with my kidneys for the last 2 months. I had one follow-up appointment, which I went to, and the guy was like, I got to be honest, these are some of the most fucked up kidneys I've ever seen.
You got some bad boys.
Yeah, he's like, sit down, son. And then I just decided, you know what? A great way to avoid getting any further bad news is just stop talking to doctors.
Yeah.
So I just go to work every day, like, and I pretend like nothing's wrong. And then once every 3 weeks, I get a stabbing pain in my side. I'm like, well, body's taking care of itself. So with any luck, if Giannis just stops going to doctors, you can never be diagnosed with an injury.
So, I mean, side tangent off of that is I really do think that we're a big enough company now that we should have a team doctor at Barstool Sports who just sits upstairs and you can just walk in and be like, hey, I got kidney stones. Hey, my back hurts.
Yeah.
Now, how quickly that would become, hey, the team doctor at Barstool Sports legally prescribed everything, I can't say.
Probably pretty quickly.
But we should have a team doctor. Back to the game. I do think the Hawks would have – they kind of were going to win this game without Giannis getting hurt. Like, I know Hank just sitting there just saying game after every made shot.
That was pre-injury.
The Hawks were playing, like, a spirited, like, hey, we're coming out here. Everyone in the world thinks we have no chance without Trae Young. Fuck the world. Lou Williams going off. Like, I don't know. I thought they were going to win this game. It felt like they were going to win this game before Giannis even got hurt.
I got to say, watching Trae Young jump up and down, he gives me, like, LaDainian Tomlin on the sideline vibes. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was when Phillip Rivers was actually playing
with a torn ACL. With Reggie Miller, it was
which
like,
you can't
is that
do.
Impossible?
Yeah, I mean, Phillip Rivers is not really a run-first quarterback.
No.
But he was still playing in the AFC Championship game with it. But that's what, like, Trae Young, he's very animated for a guy with, he's got a bone bruise on the sidelines.
Yeah,
so,
deep bone bruise.
And he was playing the rest of the game on.
Deep bone bruise.
Deep bone. If you have to ask the question, is Atlanta better without Trae Young? Because you got, I mean, Kevin Huerter. Dude, you know he's the logo of his high school?
I love it.
His high school changed their logo to like a silhouette of Kevin Huerter after he graduated.
Yeah, I mean,
he should be the new NBA logo. Yeah. I love Kevin Huerter.
Kevin Huerter.
Ginger Jordan.
Lou Williams. Lou Williams has been on fire as well. I think he's,
I do want to give a shout out to PJ Tucker, though. Did you see his jersey tonight? It looked, he had like the little tear right down the middle of it.
Pre-tear.
Like he was ready to go Hulk Hogan with it at any given second. Unfortunately, they're losing by 24 points, so he probably won't get to do that.
Yeah, this is, I don't know what, like, what, imagine if the Bucks, imagine if we watch a finals with the Bucks with no Giannis or the Hawks. I do think Trae will be back just by, like you said, like he's jumping up on the sideline. I think he'll be back.
I think so.
For the rest of the series. And then we have on the other side, the Never Say Die Clippers, who, look, we're a Suns podcast, but credit where credit is due. The Clippers are a fucking tough-ass team. Like, they just don't quit. And Ty Lue deserves all the credit in the world for being a really good coach that everyone kind of has clowned on, myself included. And Paul George, you know, he's still playoff P. We're not going to, like, you can't let him off the hook for, what was it, 14 times he shot 25% or less?
Yeah, it was like the most in NBA history.
Yeah, one game doesn't erase that, but one game you do have to give him a lot of credit for going in to, you know, Phoenix, putting up 30 in the second half, playing an unbelievable game, and the Clippers just don't die.
The problem with playoff P is that he never plays a good game where he doesn't have any moments where he doesn't suck.
Yeah.
So he always has, even in his best of games, he always kind of stinks for about a minute and a half.
Throws the ball around or something. Yeah, he looks like gas at the end.
He airballs a free throw or like bricks three in a row from the line.
Oh, and no, Boogie Cousins.
Is that Capella?
I think he got poked in the eye. I think
Capella's hurt now. Would you? Okay.
Another one?
Yeah.
LeBron?
Come on. Yeah, let's just.
He got poked in the eye. If they had been resting, that never would have happened.
I actually think that we should blame LeBron for these injuries.
Yes.
Because let's take LeBron at his word. It was his idea to try to rest people more, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like he didn't do a good enough job leading and building a coalition to get more people to agree with him. Listen, leadership is about accountability, and if you're LeBron James, you are the leader of the NBA players, right? I know technically Chris Paul is the head of the NBAPA, but Chris Paul answers to LeBron James, clearly.
Yes.
So LeBron, I don't think that you got to point a finger at yourself.
The only issue, I mean, look, it's weird how many people have been injured, but LeBron, he's made all of his money. He has so much fucking money. I just think that when you tell, like, hey, the rest of the guys, like, we should have had a longer rest, there's serious dollars that are at stake here. If you're not playing, or if you're playing a significantly shortened season, guys don't get paid as much, like, salary cap goes down. I don't know. I just think it's a little bit harder when it's coming from LeBron.
I know. I'm just taking an excuse to try to pin this on LeBron.
Yeah.
Not doing a good enough job making his point. Listen, I'm very much one of the NBA fans that really I care. I root for ratings. So I want markets I want big markets to do well.
Yes.
If people aren't watching the games, that to me is the biggest loss of all.
Yeah.
So do you think that at this point with all the stars that are injured, you could get more people to watch them play in a wheelchair basketball game than to watch, like, let's call it a Clippers-Hawks finals?
Either way, though, the ratings are going to be screwed this year because of the July.
Yeah, July definitely fucks
up.
That's
an automatic out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Regardless if it was LeBron versus the Nets, like, I think the ratings still probably would have been down.
I think people would watch a wheelchair game just because it would be different.
I'd watch one game.
Yeah. I don't know if that would be, you know, like, appropriating
wheelchair
definitely
culture.
Yeah.
For sure.
Know. Yeah, I think it would. I think Jan.
I think you did that when, like, you did the scooter thing.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. Absolutely did. But, like, being
my body's not a costume.
Look at Kyrie can't, or Trae Young, deep bone bruise, needs a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that would fly.
Paul Pierce shit himself.
Yeah, I don't think that would fly. What were you saying, Jake?
To your point earlier, Ty Lue, 10-2 in his career when facing elimination.
It's crazy.
It started with the 3-1 Cavs Warriors three in a row.
And there are certain teams that, like, their coach instills that type of toughness, like scrappiness. That is the Clippers. Like, everything in your body tells you that the Clippers are dead man walking. Their best player is out. They're going to Phoenix. Phoenix has got a chance to go to the finals for the first time in, like, almost 30 years at home. And they just go in there. And there was a moment, too, in the third or fourth quarter where it felt like the Clippers were totally gassed. And they just kept on fighting. Reggie Jackson, by the way, like, that guy, when he went on that 8-0 run with a dunk, he's fucking awesome. He's, like, everything you want from that guy, just a spark plug guy who comes in and is like, hey, we can rely on him to just get insanely hot for a few minutes and carry us. So, yeah, the Clippers deserve a lot of credit. Who do you think wins this series? I do think it would be very funny. At We Are Suns podcast, it would be very funny if Chris Paul blew another 3-1 lead.
I think the Suns are still going to win.
In the 1 year that everyone's hurt except Chris Paul?
Yeah, I think
that would be funny.
I think the Suns are still going to win. We're a Suns podcast. I think it's going to be Suns, Hawks, and Suns in four.
Suns in four. Suns, Hawks, Suns in four. About Chris Paul, that flop he had last night, he is going to get hurt flopping. Like, he's a danger to himself because he loves flopping so much. But the best part about that flop was it was a true internet meme come to life that he flopped. And I was sitting in the office with the Spittin' Chiclets guys. As he was flopping, the Brendan Gallagher getting his face smashed into the ice and blood everywhere was happening in the Stanley Cup final game. And it was, like, so perfect that those happened almost, like, the exact same time. And I don't know, the Lightning are an absolute wagon. I have actually a paragraph I want to read to you real quick. This is a true hockey guy paragraph. So this is from the Montreal Gazette from Stu Cowan. He wrote about Brendan Gallagher. He's just like William Wallace, the late 13th century Scottish warrior that the 1995 film Braveheart was based on, with Wallace leading the Scots in the First War of Scottish Independence against England's King Edward. If they ever do a remake of Braveheart, which won the Best Picture Award in the 1996 Academy Awards, Gallagher could replace Mel Gibson in the lead role playing Wallace. I fucking love it.
I love hockey guys.
That's a real...
It's incredible.
That's a real newspaper wrote that.
Uh-huh. Who won that movie?
Good point.
They fought like warrior poets, Hank. They fought like Scotsmen. They won their freedom.
Speaking of that, the Canadiens in this series. Yeah. I think they probably will get shit pumped by the Lightning.
Well, no, they could come back and win their... Someone's dick is getting cut off at the end. That's all that we know for sure.
Yes.
But, I mean, the Lightning look like they're almost unbeatable. But I do feel like we should take some time to point out the fact that the Lightning... the cap gymnastics on part of the Lightning.
But I have no problem with that. We talked about it with Biz.
Yeah, cap gymnastics.
No, I mean, that's those are the rules.
I just like
we talked about the exact same thing.
They're capping. Big cap. Yeah. It's cap. Listen, Hank, I found one way to make an excuse out of my prediction of the Canadians winning, and that's just like putting all my eggs in the these guys cheat by exploiting the cap rules basket. So that's what I'm going to stick with.
But we when we had Biz on, the only time he was coherent was talking about, or maybe it was with Whitney, talking about exactly this, that like, what are you going to do? You can't, it's the rules. The Blackhawks did it in 2015. Now, that was a little different because Patrick Kane got hurt in the season. They did it where, who was it? Kucherov was just out all year and then they brought him back. But the rules are stupid. Like, the rules are stupid that there's no, the salary cap doesn't count in the playoffs.
Well, also, it's that, and it's also if you have players that are good enough to get, like, if you can get to the playoffs with some of your stars injured that you're paying a lot of money to, then that benefits you. So that just means that the rest of your team is really good, and then you can get those superstars back.
Right.
And their money doesn't necessarily count.
The rule sucks.
So the rule sucks. And I also think that if you're in the NHL, they're so bad at doing everything related to governing the game. You could just have a bunch of star players and pay them too much money and probably never get caught. It's like the Rams trading draft picks that might not even exist. You can just lie. You can just say, okay, we're only paying this person this much money. And I don't think that the NHL has like an investigative force that will come by and look too deeply into your books.
Yeah.
Just cheat.
So the Canadiens, it looks like it's going to be a tough one for them. I mean, the Lightning, everyone was predicting the Canadiens. And by the way, a couple people say I say that wrong. I put a little French into it. I think that's what you should do.
Les habitants.
Yeah. A little Canadien.
Oui.
Everyone was predicting their demise for the last two rounds. I think maybe this is the time that they've truly met their match.
Yeah, a hot goalie can only get you so far.
The Lightning are just fucking good. They're really fucking good. And fuck third leg Greg. Speaking of French, should we talk a little soccer?
Oui.
Français.
Je suis désolé. Le Suisse. Une gagne pour le Suisse.
Our favorite 19-year-old is the GOAT for all the wrong reasons. That was a wild, two wild games on Monday.
It's growing
what is
pains.
This for?
Growing pains for Mbappe. Euro. This is for the
Euros, bro.
Yeah.
Is this every year thing?
Every 4 years. It's two years when there's not the World Cup.
Yeah, it's the Euros.
So at the same time as the Euros happening, the Copa in South America is happening.
It was funny because Hank was like, I'm so over soccer.
Whoa. I was never,
yeah,
I was never
true.
Under soccer.
But you did say it
you're
today.
You're a Super League fan.
You said it today when Monday had objectively, like, maybe the craziest day of international soccer ever in terms of how crazy both those games were. They were insane.
The England fans were cool today. I'll give them that.
It's coming
home. There we go.
I don't want to be a soccer hater. I don't want to sound like a soccer hater.
You're coming off as
doesn't,
one.
Doesn't do it for me. That's
not,
fine.
You know what?
Big I'm happy for you guys.
He's not really coming off as soccer. He's coming off as uncultured.
Yeah, that's true. Someone did say that when I talk soccer, they were like, you sound so much smarter. I was like, thank you.
You're really bringing down the like sophistication level of this podcast.
Mm-hmm. We are a football podcast.
Football. Right now. And yeah, it's coming home. I like England. The problem with England is, right now, they look convincing in their win against Germany. Now they have expectations. They're the favorites to win.
Uh-huh.
And that's a very bad place for England to be. We'll get into it a little bit with Roger Bennett, which we recorded, like, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, before any of this.
But now there's severe expectations on England.
Yeah.
And that is prime, like, Harry Kane's going to miss a penalty kick.
Never
in
a
the
good
semifinals.
Thing.
He's going to sky it like Baggio. Hit the moon with it.
It is great how it seems like it's just 95% dudes in the stands just going fucking ballistic.
Yeah.
The lads.
Just taking their tops off.
Yeah.
The fucking Czech, I think, maybe.
No, the Swiss guy.
No, but there was... No, but I'm saying, like, the Swiss guy was electric.
Mm-hmm.
The entire... It might have been Croatia or Czech, but whatever. They went to it, and it was... Every guy had their top off, and none of them should be tops off guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were all 30 to 40 pounds overweight, but they were just vibing out together.
That sounds like Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, I think
because
it was Czech.
I think Croatia, if you saw them, a lot of those dudes are in shape. They got Yacht Week to get ready for.
Yeah, that's true. Yacht Week is the...
We should do Grit Week, Yacht Week at
there
some
was
point.
There was a brief second where I was like, I'm going to do Yacht Week. And then I realized I'm not attractive or in shape ever to do Yacht Week. Like, Yacht Week is the week that you show up to because you saw a commercial on Instagram, And you're like, all right, so when does the fucking start? And they're mm-hmm. like, oh.
I'm here.
You shouldn't have signed up for this.
My body's here.
We're going to stash you under. We're going to stash you like fucking Leo in the Titanic down on like the fourth deck.
There should definitely be somebody that's like the Navy. The Croatian Navy should be in charge of policing the waters just to make sure no unhot people
get yeah, it. Right. You're too ugly. Get out of yeah. here.
Go over to Greece.
No, Greece is hot too.
Is Greece hot?
Yeah, Greece is hot. Hairy, but hot.
Yeah, hairy.
Very hairy. Oily. But very hot.
And listen, I love the Greeks.
Yes.
Great
yes.
lemon soup.
Great lemon soup. Great
I love Giannis.
Giannis?
Great ligaments in Greece.
Great economy.
Yeah. Good system of government.
Sick Instagram. 3,000
years ago.
Pictures in that one hotel with like the white roofs.
They've got great blues.
Yeah.
Good blue colors
great
over there.
Great blues.
A lot of
great
smart guys blues. Back in the day.
Uh-huh. That's true, but also kind of pedophiles.
Yeah, disavow.
A lot of them. Disavow.
Disavow that.
Tzatziki is elite.
Pita. Oh, yeah.
Great sauce.
An elite one, yeah.
Hummus. Great sauce. Yeah.
Hummus, elite.
The 300. They had 300 just dudes.
Dude, Spanakopita when it's done right is the best.
That was Rome?
That was Sparta.
Sparta, yeah.
Right?
Saganaki, the flaming cheese. That shit is awesome.
Wrestling,
It's like going to hibachi. It's like you clap for it. It's an experience. Like, oh, shit, they lit the cheese on fire.
Pete Sampras,
greatest American, Greek athlete. Very hairy. Extremely.
I would say.
Wait, was
Jimmy the Greek?
Jimmy the Greek.
No, disavow.
What else we got? Greeks.
I think Agassi may have been from like.
Go ahead.
Syria.
Mythology.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Neptune.
Kind of hit that.
One's got to go. Zeus, Poseidon, Nike, Hercules.
Nike is a god.
Oh yeah. Achilles. Achilles was what? He was a Greek god, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's an Olympian.
Achilles, no.
Poseidon's Achilles, a badass. I love Poseidon.
Achilles was injury prone.
Yeah. He got fucking
big red flag.
Smoked on his leg. Yeah.
He was the original. He was the original, like, you know, the playoffs were kind of ruined once he got taken out.
Yeah. Oh, true. Zeus, that dude. War. Why didn't we mention Zeus?
Yeah, it was the Trojan War, right? Yeah.
Zeus is the best. Zeus is the guy.
Yeah, but one's got to go.
Wait, what was it again?
I think I said Zeus, Poseidon, Nike, Achilles.
Achilles.
Yeah, get Achilles
gotta
out.
Gotta go.
Liability.
See ya.
Listen,
it's a put
Medusa
up or shut up league.
From
Your best ability is availability, Achilles.
Yeah. Smoke?
Was it Medusa Smoke?
Is no, like, Medusa's the god of the fat chick with the octopus.
She had a great personality.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well,
she was cool.
Of?
She was like a softball catcher.
Like a yeah. There's a chick that's like down still to hang, might. You know? Like one of the guys.
Those who gaze into her eyes would turn to stone.
To Medusa?
Yeah.
Damn.
Sounds hot.
That's hardcore.
I'm Persephone.
Wait, yeah. Isn't that getting rock hard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Hold up.
Yeah, because like if I were to hypothetically say something like that to Miley Cyrus, be like, yeah. Miley, look me in the eye and turn my entire body to granite. I would get bonked, right?
That's like an Anthony Weiner text, being like, yeah. You're so hot, babe, I just turned into stone.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know how we got here.
Greeks.
Yeah, Greeks. All right, so that was our Euro
that
talk.
Was talking
Euro
soccer.
2020, which I like that they're doing that, by the way.
Gyro 2020.
That it says Euro 2020. And I actually had a moment today where I was like, is it 2020 still?
No, it's like the Olympics. They're doing it again this year. It's 2020. Everyone should just lie. The last year didn't happen.
Yeah. Everyone gets a red shirt year.
Mm-hmm.
We all get to say that we're.
It is a medical
younger.
Red shirt. Yeah.
Yes. All right. We were about to do Hot Seat Cool Throne, but we thought of a couple others. Stavros from Cumtown.
Great Greek.
Great Greek.
Greece the movie,
and one and two.
Greece two.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah.
Oh,
there
fuck.
You go.
We're now back on a roll, boys.
Never seen it.
Hank just dropped
get
what?
Get him to the Greek.
Get him to the Greek.
The face that launched 1,000 ships.
Versace.
What was her name?
Helen.
It was Helen.
Helen Troy?
What was Helen's bod like? Because I feel like they're drawing a lot, making a lot of noise about her face.
She was hot in the movie, Troy.
Yeah.
Alexander?
Troy
Greek? Isn't he Alexander the Greek?
The Great.
Alexander
the Great. Oh, Plato.
That would have been funny if he was Alexander the Greek.
Wait, who? Which guys are we disavowing?
I don't know.
I think I
Socrates?
Socrates
a disavow?
Socrates, I think, is one of those dudes that would just like eat grapes at the pool and fuck boys.
Yeah, he got arrested for corrupting the youth.
This was like 3,000 years
fucking
ago.
Fucking Pythagoras.
Oh, you're okay with it then?
No, but like, I don't know.
Wait, like, you're talking about Socrates like this was his pre-woke period? Like, oh, he's evolved.
What about Kevin Euclid, the Greek guy
that
walks?
Yep.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Shout out Moneyball.
Tom Brady's brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think we got
Greek
all right,
twins.
We got it all. Fuck. We this was good.
Billy, you got one?
Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coach of Greece. Greece. He's doing it tonight. It's crazy. You think, be a great coach.
You think in the bedroom he's got a ref stand next to him, like yeah, us on the foul line?
And then he's like, yeah, not too much tzatziki sauce.
Rick. We love Rick, though. Like, Rick, I hope he takes the boys to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's go to Hot Seat Cool Throne. Hot Seat Cool Throne is brought to you by our friends at...
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, hot seat, Cool Throne.
My hot seat is Craig Engels. Okay. And the only reason he's on the hot seat just because of Big Cat. He didn't do anything wrong. Don't. Only crime he committed was just having Big Cat join his bandwagon and then mushing him into fourth place on Monday night.
All time.
1 a.m. Is that the Kenny Powers? He's
the guy that looks like Kenny Powers with a mullet. Uh-huh. He was like an Olympic hopeful. Everyone was saying he's going to make it. He was racing at 1 a.m. after we recorded on Sunday. Big Cat was up tweeting about it, going crazy. And he came in fourth.
But I told
didn't
you.
Didn't qualify.
But Hank,
by one place.
I specifically told you that I was going to go to sleep, pretend that he qualified, and just forget everything and hope that he just showed up at the Olympics.
And then last night. Is he going to be like first alternate?
This was Sunday night.
Just say he's first alternate.
I get home. And I see, this guy like
came fucked up in the race. So he got like bumped out.
Yeah, no, he was
like,
getting elbowed.
It wasn't really his fault.
Rubbing his racing.
Him. Yeah.
So like 3 days before, someone had tweeted about it, and I'd seen it, and I was like, this guy fucking rocks. He drove to the meet in an RV. I was like, I'm a Craig Engels guy. And then I'm laying in bed about to go to sleep, and someone tweets me like, dude, you staying up for your boy Craig Engels in 15 minutes? I was like, God damn it. So I stayed up. I was like, Craig Engels, let's go. He fucking finishes fourth. And then there's some, these track nerds are telling me like there's this rule that you have to run a fast time to get the standard, but then there's all these points. Basically, I just didn't sleep on Sunday night because I was trying to figure out track rules. Fuck track rules. Free my man, Craig Engels.
I feel like it should just be, in terms of qualification, just take like the fastest 10 times in the world, regardless of who runs them, and then those fastest 10 people get to run. I also think that Craig Engels, this guy could make a shitload of money just hustling people.
Well, if he made it to the Olympics.
Like, no, not even in the Olympics. I'm saying, like, just being, like, a sandbagger, just showing up places. Like, he steps out of his RV.
He's got a runner's body, though.
Yeah, but he steps out of his RV wearing jeans.
Yeah.
And, like, a jacket and smoking a cigarette. He's like, you want
to
race?
There's a lot of race hustlers out there.
I think it could be the start of an industry. Just like, hey, man, you want to race me? $100 on the table right now. Let's do it.
I would say never lose. No, you look way faster than me.
But you missed the point where he's wearing jeans and like a long sleeve.
I would still not race anyone.
Def Leppard t-shirt.
You do it?
No, I'm saying there are people out there that think that they're fast.
Got it.
That might be in really good shape, and they see old Craig E.
Mm-hmm.
stepping off the RV.
I was very unfortunate. I felt very bad. I really wish he made the Olympics.
It's like cool.
But I'm sure he's got like a really cool nice job set up at Home Depot. isn't that like all the Olympics? The Olympians all have jobs.
Yeah, but
at Home
Depot. They only give you jobs there if you make the team. It's like a car dealership in College Town. It's like,
Craig, we will give you a job. Barstool Sports, you can start as an intern. This is really offensive now to Craig Engels.
And then last night, the Suns were coming back. I think they were within one possession. It was like 94-98. Yep. Big Cat said the Clippers looked
they
gassed.
They were. They did.
And then they went on a run and just blew the game out of water. Never was in doubt.
Also
that.
On Sunday,
right after that tweet,
the Travelers opened the 8 playoffs, and I was like, I think I'm rooting for this Kramer dude, and he lost like two minutes later.
Yep.
So yeah, it's whatever, you know, whatever.
My cool throne was the lads. Also, Sopranos.
Yeah,
yeah.
The trailer for the new movie. It's a movie. I thought it was a TV show. The fact that it's a movie is a little bit worrisome. I don't know.
Worried?
Why does that worry you?
I just feel like it. It's going to be hard. The TV show was so good because, you know, you can extend the episodes, make them long, have it
you haven't played out over seven seasons. Yeah.
Sometimes when they try and compact it all into 2 hours, it's worrisome. But it's James Gandolfini's son is playing Tony Soprano. young Tony Soprano. Uh-huh. Looks exactly like him. Same mannerisms and stuff. I read an interview where he said
That's wild.
He didn't watch the show until he did the audition.
Really?
Yeah, like he's like, I remember it. I remember obviously my dad being around and doing the show when I was a little kid, but I never watched it or anything until I was doing the audition, and it was super sad because I had to watch my dad the whole time.
So this it's a prequel to what happened to The Sopranos. I saw the trailer for it. I loved every second of it, except is there a way where I can just fast forward any scene that Tony's mom's in? It's just like she just reminds me too much. She's the most annoying character. In the
well, we'll see what younger maybe, Tony's maybe, mom
no, but she's
is
already like annoying.
Maybe they'll CGI her again.
Yeah. Maybe.
That would be, I mean, she died in real life. That's why they CGI'd her.
Spoilers.
Right.
Yeah.
Should I go?
Yeah.
Okay, my hot seat is sexism. Sexism's on the hot seat because the Washington football team hired a female co-CEO today. So there are two CEOs right now. Dan Snyder's one, and then they have a female co-CEO that they hired. So it's just like, let's get the best person working here, regardless of their gender. It's a meritocracy in the NFL, so I'm very excited. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. The Washington football team is doing what needs to be done to win in the NFL.
It's a lead up to go.
And it's Dan Snyder's wife.
There it is.
So
I love that it was so funny.
We had a long interview process for it.
Yes.
And it's. I think we have to. Do we have to take Dan Snyder's man card for sure? Oh, you're gonna share the team with your wife, bro.
It's like
what company has two CEOs?
Johnson and Johnson.
That's true.
Mike and Mike.
That's true. No, not anymore.
The Property Brothers.
Yep.
All right.
That is
Listen,
true.
All the great organizations, yeah, too, Hank. It's a long list.
Threw that out there. Yeah, that was very funny that it was like trending. I was like, wait, they hired a... Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's probably not going to make a single bit of difference, depending on what happens with the report that's eventually going to come out. Or maybe they're just pulling like what we do with a doctor, and they're just never going to put the report out that they commissioned.
Yes.
But depending on what they say in that... It might be a way for Dan Snyder to be like, I've transitioned the role of CEO to my wife.
It would be also
so
funny
hands off.
If he made his wife the fall guy.
Yeah.
Like, just set her up to then take all the blame.
She can't testify against him.
There he
husband
is.
Husband and wife.
Yeah.
So, yeah. My other hot seat is Pooh Shiesty. Pooh Shiesty, the rapper. I'm sure you're all familiar with him. Hank?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he got arrested because he was committing a robbery down in Miami. And he brought his own money to the robbery, as one does. He had like a bag filled with $100 bills. And he dropped the bag out of the side of his rental car during the robbery where he shot a guy. And then they took the bag and they compared the serial number on the $100 bill to some serial dollars or serial numbers he had flashing cash in his Instagram stories from like a month before.
Oh.
Matched up personally. So Pooh Shiesty got a federal charge today.
I'm pretty sure the car he was driving to, he used in one of his music videos. So that was another like...
Yeah. Pooh Shiesty. Not a...
Match it up.
Yeah.
Not a criminal mastermind.
He also
I
has
really
a,
thought he would be.
He also has a lyric that was like, I can't stop doing robberies still, man. Damn.
At least he's honest.
Yeah.
Dude, I went down a little Pooh Shiesty rabbit hole today. He's shot like four people in the last year, apparently.
Ooh.
Like, the dude can't stop shooting.
His ad lib is sick, though.
His ad lib?
Yeah.
I know that's what I've been saying about him. It's unfortunate. It's like.
He doesn't sound like a guy I want to have on my bad side, so I'm a Pooh Shiesty guy.
Yeah, big Pooh Shiesty podcast.
Mm-hmm.
My cool throne is the German coach who was eating boogers. Yeah, he got caught eating boogers again on the sidelines against England.
He also smells his ass.
Yeah, he smells his ass, smells his armpits, eats his own boogers. He can't stop. Actually, with England, I was thinking about this earlier. Is this a dead mascot tournament for England? Prince Philip?
No, because I feel like it's got to be the Queen, right?
But he's a mascot. Yeah, if the Queen dies.
If the Queen dies,
I'm putting my mortgage on
England. Yeah, right. I think it's like maybe one game, but also I don't know. 99. Dude, RIP RIP Phil though. Let's do a moment of silence. Yeah. Big ups to our guy Phil.
One.
He's out there.
Respect.
What? Only half of his sons are pedophiles.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're disavowing Socrates, but we're fucking Prince Philip.
You're talking about Prince Andrew, right?
Yeah.
Prince Andrew, the guy who doesn't sweat at all.
Yeah. So that's, 50%, that'll get you in the MLB Hall of Fame.
Prince Andrew should develop deodorant, like antiperspirant. He should be like, hey, this is Prince Andrew for Old Spice.
All right. Billy's just liked that one. I don't know what he's doing. He's earning some down. All right, my hot seat is Scottie Pippen. He's just got to stop talking.
I actually think he's doing a great job of pitching this bourbon or
selling
or cognac
his book
or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
He's got a book. He's got the combo. So I guess you're right. In a weird way, he's doing a great job because everyone's talking about Scottie Pippen, but calling Phil Jackson racist for drawing up a winning play to Tony Kukoc, and it goes against like everything that everyone knows. Not only that, Phil Jackson, like, he wouldn't, like, that's Jerry Krause's guy, Tony Kukoc, so why would he call up a winning play for him? And then also, like, Scottie Pippen, like, the whole thing, Scottie Pippen, you hated Tony Kukoc, you said it in the documentary when he came over, like, all these things make no sense. So it was nice to see Scottie Pippen just go, like, he just shot the moon, you know what I mean? He's like, fuck it, Phil Jackson's racist.
The only thing I'm pissed off about is, like, what are we, chopped liver?
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen, you're going on all these different podcasts and
Come
shows
show.
And leveling just fiery takes and wild accusations, and you can't be bothered to zoom in to part of my take?
Do you think Scottie Pippen, maybe this is what he's doing and he's just a sneaky genius, do you think, like, maybe he calls up everyone that he played with and all his friends, and he's like, listen, I'm going to say some shit, but none of it's real.
Maybe.
Or, I'll talk to you in August.
Or he's on a scorched earth tour just getting back at everybody that's ever slept with Larsa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it sucks. I think he just needs to stop talking because I love Scottie Pippen, but it feels like he just keeps going. He just keeps going and going. And I don't think he's done. I think is the book even out?
No, Scottie.
I hope the book's
care
out.
Care to come on Part of My Take and discuss?
Yeah.
I will absolutely.
No, I don't want him on here because he'll just say a lot of stuff that will, like, hurt me.
November 16th, 2021.
Oh, my God. We have so many months.
Wait,
before
his book he'll say
out.
Stuff about you?
No. I'm saying he'll say stuff that, like, you'll get him set up to say something that's like Michael Jordan's a fucking loser or something. He'll
yeah,
say that.
I want him to say that on this show.
I don't want to do that. Scotty,
think
stay
about,
away.
Big Cat, think about
Worry
how many
about your book.
Think about how many retweets that quote card would have.
Yeah.
Michael
and
Jordan is
no
a
one
loser,
would even
Scottie
put part
Pippen.
Of my take on it.
Though. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right, my cool throne. This was actually my who's back because I thought we were doing who's back. But it's relatable to me, but I think it's relatable to everyone. My who's back is goodie bags. So I've been doing the two-year-old circuit, birthday party circuit. I forgot about goodie bags.
Yeah.
They fucking rock.
So is it like, you know, when you go to a movie and you watch a Disney or Pixar movie, it's like there's some stuff in there for the adults too. Do they include
That I haven't had that yet, but just the idea, like think about like the, because when was the last time you had a goodie bag? Like 25 years?
Is that, well, I'm trying to think when I fucked Derek Jeter.
but it's, you get a gift for going to a party.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
It's amazing, yeah.
It's the best.
So what goes into a two-year-old's goodie bag?
It's toys.
Can I guess?
Like, yeah, no, it's toys, yeah.
Okay, so like a little figurine maybe of my favorite TV
you
show.
You don't know ages, so you're like, all right, so no. It's like car keys.
Game Boy.
Yeah, right. Like
Challenge 24.
See. Yeah. but yeah, goodie bags are fucking awesome. So I just you probably haven't thought about goodie bags in a really long time. They're back in my life. And, just getting a gift for showing up to a party is just a hilarious concept that makes no sense, but is really cool.
How does that work with, like, a two-year-old's birthday party? Do all the parents, like, just stand around the outside of a ring like it's a giant octagon filled with toddlers and just make sure no one's hurting each other?
No, I mean, no, you they,
you
like,
just let them go?
Yeah, they walk. I mean, they're like, real people.
Like,
now.
Free range?
Yeah. Free range kids.
Go for it.
Yes. All right. Fully.
Anything the sun touches
yeah.
is yours.
Jake, go ahead.
Hot seat is Mike Francesa. Tweet/video resurfaced from 3 years ago when he said, quote, "The Yankees are lucky they didn't get him," in regards to Shohei Ohtani, who hit two home runs
off
of the Yankees today.
Yeah,
Mike and the Mad Dog.
That's tough.
A couple of years ago. Cool throne is Big Cat Your Goat, Novak Djokovic. In his opening round of Wimbledon, he won a game in 44 seconds. Four consecutive aces. I had never seen that before.
What?
It's insane.
It's the quickest
you
can ever win a game.
It's an unbelievable clip. Right. The guy does not come within 5 feet of hitting the ball.
It's incredible.
It's actually one of the craziest clips I've ever seen.
I both tweeted it yesterday.
When you said he won a game, I thought that he won the entire.
No.
Like, I thought that, like, too. I thought that, too, when I clicked into it. I thought the guy was going to retire in 1 second.
There's
or
a point. There's a game.
Uh-huh.
There's a set.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying my cool sports brain was like, wow, he won the whole thing.
And I'm watching it right now. Tennis.
Like, it's
this guy's not even trying.
No, it's just incredible serves. There's nothing you could do about it.
But
no,
maybe like move trying. Over to yeah. the right a couple feet,
or like, yeah, just and go feign? Wide instead of down the tee.
Just be like, ah, oh.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If I would break an ankle or something, you have to fake an injury.
He's even, also just leaving the middle open.
Yeah,
dude, play some defense.
So
at some point, you got to guess one way or the other, and just like sprint to that side right when he serves it, hope that you're correct.
Right. At least
he didn't even try.
At least get a hand on something.
Even
so you don't get aced four times.
He didn't even
44
try.
44 seconds. That's incredible.
Dude, he hit it in the same spot every single time.
Hey, Hank, I can't help but notice that your caption was, I would take a fall and say my ankle was broken if this happened to me four times in a row playing tennis. That sounds a lot like what happened last summer with Jake Marsh, where he hurt his ankle. Was that are you taking a shot at Jake?
No, that wasn't. It is strangely coincidental now that you say that, but
uh-huh.
I think Jake was winning that tennis match. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to our interviews. We have Roger Bennett first, and then we have Joe Tessitore, and we also have a new sponsor alert.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, here he is, Roger Bennett. Okay, we now welcome on one of our favorite recurring guests. He's back in studio, which is fantastic to see you. It is Roger Bennett. He has a new book out, which, so when you listen to this podcast, it will be out. It is called Reborn in the USA, An Englishman's Love Letter to His Chosen Home.
America.
No, I mean, let's start here. You're more American than us at this point.
I think I am more American than Kid Rock, Bruce Springsteen, Kenny Powers. If you squash them all together, that's kind of approaching
your American.
My levelness. Just do you feel
like?
With me.
Yeah. Do you feel like you know more about America than we do?
Right now, to be honest, what do I feel? I feel excited to be in the same room as the human being that single-handedly stopped the Super League.
Yes.
Super League.
Yes. Yeah, Super League dead.
That, mistaken to it.
Yeah, I noticed you didn't thank me.
Well, it's like not every day you get to meet someone that has performed that kind of task, both geopolitically with those kind of consequences. I mean, you think who's in your category? Jesus. You think Mother Teresa, maybe, arguably, in with a shout. Your listeners will no doubt get Bono, definitely. You like Bono, but more modest, less
modest.
That would
be sick if we could actually force people to have iPhones that had our podcast already on it.
That's how we got number one. Wait, so all right. So the big question about the Super League, you obviously were against it. Football is a sport. We had our guy Troops on saying that, you know, soccer or basketball is a business, baseball is a business, football is a sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the people. But with all that said, it would have been sweet to watch the Super League.
You are flipping sides, Hank.
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying I'm happy that it's gone.
You're flipping
sides. But if I told you, you cannot be both the savior
who swooped in the hour of need when the working class of Europe was about to truly be submerged. You cannot be the gentleman that saw the bat single and then swooped in to save all of us, save humanity. I don't like to be hyperbolic, but you did save humanity. You cannot be that person. And then when in walks me to bend the knee, you cannot be the person who then tries to flip it over.
Hear me out.
Maybe I made a mistake.
Hear me out. Yeah. I'm happy the Super League didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It was a bad idea. It would have ruined football, soccer. But I then had a moment, like a week later, I was like, you know, it would be sick if on like a Wednesday afternoon in November, Barcelona was playing Liverpool.
They still are. Maybe not, though.
It doesn't have the history behind it like the Super League would have.
Right. Yeah. You're just trolling me.
Steeped in tradition.
The reality is, football is amazing. It allows us to feel things like emotions that most normal people feel in real life, like happiness, sadness, joy, failure. But, you know, I'm dead to inside. So football, sports in general, allows us to feel those things. And it's a, in came the sheikhs, in came the oligarchs, in came the American sports owners.
Oh, don't blame
LeBron James. Blame LeBron James.
But, you know, I'm not pointing a finger at LeBron James, but Liverpool, it was within weeks of him taking ownership that the flip was switched.
Mm-hmm. I like what you just brought up, though, because I think it does ring true that sports allows psychopaths to feel human for a moment.
Mm-hmm. To pretend they're human. And we invited in these American sports owners, because many of the ones who were the ringleaders in this, it's hard for me, as someone has, we've already established, is like possibly, I don't like to blow my own horn, possibly the most American human being of all time.
All time.
Yep. All time. And in came the American owners, your Stan Kroenkes, who it's not clear to me actually knows he owns Arsenal. I think it may be a rounding error.
He doesn't.
On his thing. He knows he owns one of those NFL teams. He's not quite sure which one. He knows he owns a hockey team. And he's, you know, the football thing. It's not clear to me I think he thinks he owns Manchester City.
I actually agree with you. I was, when we were watching in the office, because Troops is a huge Arsenal fan.
I believe.
We were watching Europa, mm-hmm. and they were playing Villarreal. I'm saying all these names wrong.
No. Everybody else is saying them wrong. You're saying it right.
Yes, exactly. And then, like, it was like a Thursday afternoon at, you know, 12:30. I was like, there is no chance that Stan Kroenke's watching this game right now.
Yeah, no. So I believe Kroenke is probably that gentleman with loads of lackeys. And he's ultimately, we won the league again, right, guys? And they're all just like, yeah, yeah, telling me into Manchester City. So you got your Kroenkes, you've got your Boston Red Sox owners. And you've got your Glazers, your Tampa Bay owners who own Manchester United. And we welcome them all in. They've got ideas. They've got new, you know, brilliant ways of running things. And we welcome in. It was a bit like that old sci-fi show, V, where we welcomed in, like, the aliens who seemed nice from outer space. And then it showed they had forked tongues and started to eat all the English people.
Yeah.
And it was, I'm not going to lie, it was a bit dark trying to turn what is precious, what has grown over a century, just the evolution, the history, the traditions, and to try and turn that into WrestleMania was a bit dark.
But WrestleMania was awesome. Sweet.
There you go.
WrestleMania, no, mate, WrestleMania is the top-selling ticket of the summer
summer. Use another analogy, because you just were like, they tried to turn it into the best thing that's ever been
they
created.
They tried to turn it into rough and rowdy then.
So the reality. But that actually is probably more apt.
The reality is that you, I love American sports. I love the Bears. I love the White Sox. I love the Capitals.
How did that happen?
It's remarkable, but I don't understand why, you know, American sports teams are like, okay, St. Louis Rams are leaving. Okay, see ya. And the new fans just embrace them. I'm like, why are you not all seeing that you could all lose your team? You should all rise up. Should all not let this happen.
Honestly, because our TV is so much better over here. That's what it comes down to. Like in England, you're like, ah, shit, what am I going to watch? The baking show again? No, I better go out and riot. Over here, it's like we have unlimited options.
Those are the two options.
Yeah.
By the way,
Riot or,
by the way,
or
Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean as well.
I will say.
On loop.
I will say, those two options are pretty good.
Pretty good.
For most English people.
Pretty good.
Bake off. The decision tree, Bake Off. Or Riot.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'll be like, what day is it today? Okay. What did we do yesterday?
New episode of Riot. Let's watch this Bake Off.
What I don't want to do is to sit here on your couch and look down upon people for whom rioting or Bake Off is enough in life. But I will say, in my book, which I write about, this book is a love letter to America. I mean, it's been a crazy year. This is actually the first time I have left my studio. I built a studio at the beginning of COVID and just tried to create content every day. Like Churchill hunkered down in the war room, just, you know, in these dark hours is where the true character of human beings is defined. I've tried to create as much as possible. And it was a weird time for America and there was no sports, didn't really know what to do. So I wrote this book and about my love of America. I tried to think, I went back to, like, I love this place. This is the place I've organized my life around. The idea of America is the thing that's been a beacon of courage and tenacity and joy. I grew up in Liverpool in the 1980s. It's the greatest city in the world. It was a dark and twisted place in that time. Unemployment super high, not a lot of hope. It was written off by Mrs. Thatcher. She really demonized the city. We had music, we had football, not much else. Huge heroin epidemic, and the city life was lived in black and white. And I kind of survived by connecting to American culture, like, I realized English culture was all about, don't worry, there's people who are more miserable than you. You're not bad off. Enjoy their misery. Just soak that up, their misery. They're worse off than you. And in came American television, Miami Vice. My God, teal had not even been invented in Liverpool when I saw that show. Moonlighting. Heart to heart, all that crap. And I was just like, oh my God, that is what I want. So in a large way, you know, Bake Off or Riot ultimately was not for me.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's the third option, yeah.
It is, which is...
soap operas.
Bruce Springsteen and...
Oh, yeah, Public Enemy. And, yeah. Oh, my goddess, Tracy Chapman.
Tracy Chapman. That's actually on your Wikipedia page that you're a huge Tracy Chapman fan. I don't know how that got on. How big of a Tracy Chapman fan do you have to be in order to have that listed as one of your characters?
Can I say, I have never touched my Wikipedia page, which is like, my birth date is wrong. All kinds of crap is wrong on there. And I left it all. Everyone's like, fix it. But I'm like, you know, when you do an interview with someone, you kind of know whether they've done their research when they're like, you were born 19th September.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, I know what the interview's going to be. But there's someone beautifully, like, if it's you listening, because I know everybody in America legally has to listen to this show. If it's you that finished off my Wikipedia page by saying, I think it's something like, he's very fond of Tweed and Tracy Chapman.
Yep.
Genuinely, I want to thank you. And furthermore, I've just decided, when I die, that is going to be on my tombstone. I can't think of a better summary. What I want people to know. He was fond of Tweed and Tracy Chapman. All the emotions contained between those two.
Everything
bookings.
Else doesn't matter. I also want to give Roger credit. So we're going to date this interview right now. So we're going to air it when your book comes out. But right now we're watching the first game in Group F. Hungary versus Portugal, and Roger has given an incredible interview while never taking his eyes off the screen.
Oh.
So credit to you for that.
I'm looking at this, mesmerized by this Portuguese team who looked like a huge bottle of Draco Noir come to life.
You have to pick one, the GOAT, and you can't say, like, you know, Pele or Maradona or whatever, anyone else in the history, Messi or Ronaldo. Who do you have? I just learned that everyone calls him Ronaldo because all he does is kick penalty kicks.
I do want to say, this is a bit of a Sophie's choice.
Well,
this is like in your world, someone at gunpoint saying, Big Cat, who is the NFL GOAT? Is it Tom Brady or is it Josh Allen? You'd be like, it's different. You can make a case for either. You can make a case either. And I think like the reality is the world is divided. There's two kinds of football supporters. There's football supporters who overpluck their own eyebrows, and there's football supporters who don't. And if you are in the former category, the plucker, you'll normally lean towards Ronaldo.
Yep.
And if you just go au naturel and just let it be what it is, because you don't give a crap, you normally appreciate the body of work put together by Lionel Messi.
This is, though, you say you love America. How much do you love America? Because we have to... Oh, he almost scored right there. We have to frame every debate on who's the best of all time, and every single game, like, if you notice, Kevin Durant, they're playing, by the time this airs, he might be out of the playoffs, but every game, every shot, every dribble is an indictment on whether or not he's one of the greats or not, and, like, his legacy is perpetually on the line.
Yeah.
So you have to watch sports that way.
The reality is, after I'm now getting a bit, I'm definitely touched deeply by that, you know, glimpsing that frailty of life. But the obsession that it, of zero sum, that it has to be Ronaldo, or it has to be Messi, or it has to be LeBron, or you're kidding if you're leaving Scottie Pippen. I mean, the reality is the NBA GOAT is always Luke Longley, and it annoys the hell out of me that he's never mentioned in any of the Bulls' histories. But ultimately, that kind of deep desire to eliminate each other and absolutely crush each other, I'm trying to encourage a sports fandom that's based out of love.
Okay. Good luck with that, because
it's not going to work.
It's
that was
tough
beautiful.
To fill 3 hours of daytime television on ESPN with just Stephen A. Smith being like, I really appreciate Dabocephalosha.
Yeah, mate, God, I'd watch that. Can you imagine Stephen A. Smith if he became a force of joy? Of positivity, of affirmation, and love.
No, that was
Tony Robbins out of business immediately.
Yeah, that was so eloquent. At the end, mate, the whole time I'm thinking, like, dude, come on, Messi's way better.
He could have his Tribe Called Quest moment. Just spread love and total joy everywhere.
Okay. I would turn it off instantly.
Mate.
I mean, that's kind of what we're doing, though. Isn't it positive to say, like, Messi is the greatest of all time?
Yeah.
We're appreciating Messi. And we take it as a slight against ourselves if somebody chooses to challenge Messi with somebody. I actually personally think Diego Maradona slash John Harkes is the greatest player of all time.
Slash Colby Jones.
Slash Freddie Adu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, I agree with all. There's not one word you have. The America will be world champions. Please God, in Big Cat's children's lifetime.
This World Cup, first of all, we have to qualify for it. Can you?
And if we
give
don't,
it to me straight.
If we
are
don't,
we gonna, are we going
to
make this?
I
World
want
Cup?
Us to qualify, but if we don't,
go on.
That will be funny.
If we don't, we'll just make up another tournament that we can win.
Yes,
like we did a couple of weeks ago.
No, that's a legit championship.
People got very mad at me in 2016 because I said that before, or 2018. I said if we don't qualify, that will be very funny. And it was very funny.
It was a dark day. It really was.
But it was also funny.
Oh, mate, it was. You know, in English education, they teach 1066, the Norman invasion. They teach that as if it happened yesterday. To any English kid, that is a brutal moment in history. You feel that. And that's, I never quite understood that because obviously I was watching Debbie Gibson and I was watching Different Strokes and I was, you know, my mind was looking elsewhere. But my God, when we didn't qualify for the World Cup, that was my 1066 in every regard. So I'm glad you took pleasure.
Well, the problem is what I love about soccer and soccer Twitter and the media is I actually very much enjoy watching soccer. Like I do. I like watching the games. But at the end of the day...
Well, you're an owner.
Yeah, I'm an owner.
And a savior.
Yeah, and a savior. But my priorities are not... They do not lie with soccer. They never will. There's other sports that I care far more about. So I can show up to soccer, say some shit to piss people off, and then be like, well, actually, I really only care about, like, real football. So, like, what do I care?
Yeah.
And it's the perfect troll level.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to know we're about to enter into the promised land.
And yeah, and that's when
Claudio Reyna's son, Gio,
when he
scores that goal on Angola in the World Cup final and elbows the guy in the head at the same time and then just roars, you will be first up. Well, please God, be up on the table with those shirts.
Absolutely. Like, I like watching international soccer way more than I like watching club soccer. Is that the equivalent of being the I like college basketball more than professional basketball guy?
Mate, I think more like you like watching Nate Robinson fight one of the Paul brothers rather than real boxing.
That's true.
They're all fairly... I mean, international football is a bit crapper as a actual game. But what you get with international football, and I think this is what you were getting at, Pieter, I'm sure it was that when the two teams take the field, their nation's histories take their field alongside them. Mm-hmm. So we're about to watch France and Germany this afternoon.
Uh-oh.
They've never tangled, have they?
I don't know if I want to watch it. You can just put on the History Channel.
Well, they like each other, right?
It's a lot of love.
What's the most sensitive English Premier League club fan base? Like the fan base that you find, because we'll do it too with, you know, American football, where we will say something and most people are along with the joke, then all of a sudden you say one thing about one person, they're like, what the hell?
The Steelers.
Yeah, how could you say that? It's like, all right, well, we're taking the piss out of everything. Follow along. So what's that fan base in England where it's like, no matter what, they always get the most offended?
There's a human darkness in all of them, Big Cat. It's like, genuinely... I mean that the 80s still lives deeply within each team's fan base.
I feel like anecdotally speaking that maybe not the most sensitive fan base, the fan base that gets the most shit is Tottenham. Is that fair? It feels like they always, cuz they're always like good enough but never that good. They're always kind of,
You just described my life. Who amongst us is like, say that they're good enough, but
Man
not like
United
good.
Fans, Manchester City fans.
The reality is everybody has their angst, and English culture, and again, I write about this a lot in the bloody book, was a lot about putting people down. The reality is your joy, your American joy in the 80s and 90s was that so much of what came out, that soft power, that culture that I imbibed, you know, Rolling Stone magazine, Saturday Night Live, Bruce Willis, all that crap that came out, all of it said you can, whatever. I mean,
you were saying there's a darkness amongst most British soccer fans, just, you know,
most British
in general.
Full stop.
Is that even Leicester City fans?
After
especially Leicester City.
Leicester
fans.
City fans, you won.
By the way,
10,
rest of the world again saying it wrong.
Leicester.
Yeah. We say it right.
You say it right. Uh-huh. You make it so. But yeah, what about Leicester
City? If you hit the jackpot like they did a few years ago, no one thought it was possible. Nobody did.
Mate.
And they end up living out the dream and winning, and they're finished. What? They were like by far and away in first place, right?
I'm a bit angry at the Leicester City fans.
The Leicester City.
I'm very happy for them. It's amazing what they experienced in their lifetime. Genuinely, I'm so thrilled for them. I'm also a bit annoyed that it happened because it gives you hope.
It's true.
It's one of those things that gives you hope to, like,
It's basically like George Mason going to the Final Four, and you're like, oh, or, you know, or every year when some team gets into the college football playoff, and you're like, hey, Washington, beat Alabama. No, they can't.
It's Pete Davidson dating another supermodel.
Yeah, right. Like,
well, right. One day.
Ultimately, we have a debate on our show all the time because my partner, Michael, supports a team, Chelsea, that win a lot of things. So his approach to sports is all about winning. And that, by the way, when
he's the true American.
The New Orleans Saints, the New Orleans Aints, Bum Phillips, hilarious, all that stuff. Ultimately, you know, when Chicago Bears, one of the joys when I did move to Chicago, finally, I just went over there after university, first opportunity, moved to Rogers Park, where I'd never set foot in, but I thought it was hilarious that they had a little place that had my name. And I became friends with people, and they'd invite me around to the game. And I loved, on Sunday, just the same people coming together, just joyously watching the Bears crap the bed, bagels, beers, just amazing times. Ultimately, the memories are what are important. Knowing you're going to watch your team, Chicago Bears, you're going to watch your team, that Swansea City, you're going to watch your team, whatever, you know. I mean,
Capitals, both of you guys, Capitals.
I mean, the funny thing is so many of the teams that I do support, I am drawn to the darkness. So many of them are historically self-sabotagingly awful. The Chicago White Sox, this is our year. And, I mean, that's the reality. It is the communal memories, the memories that you share with the cats, is the cat's kids as they get older, that your family, your friends, all that crap. It is that, those shared moments. And when something randomly good by chance does bloody happen, which it is so fleeting. I mean, it's life. I'm not really talking about sports. Life is crap mostly. This life is dark, many challenges. But when you get a moment of happiness, of joy, a TJ Oshie goal, when they're shorthanded, just savor it. Savor that memory, and you just got to learn to dance like you're at your own kid's wedding.
It does. Yeah. It does make the highs higher when the lows are so low. So at Capitals, especially like when they won the Stanley Cup, I felt like I had earned something because of all the shit that I had seen and like all the heartbreak. So it did. That one moment was a lot different for me. Like I actually felt like you said, I was a psychopath that was pretending to be human. And for a brief moment, like, I was the most human person on the planet. Like, everybody else.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I never want to go back. But it felt great at the moment. Like, it's good. If I had that one time, it's wonderful. If the Capitals were to go on and win, you know, if they were to be perennial champions, I think each one would be less sweet, and I would quickly develop into the type of personality where I'd be like, I'm a winner. I root for winning franchises, and it's a direct reflection on my personality that they win so much.
We had Lewis Hamilton come on the show, and he'd like, I think he just won his 87th straight championship. And I was just like, what, you know, after you've won this many, do you not just want to go and... And he looked at me like I was a complete and utter moron. And he's like, no, I've got to win again.
Yeah.
Got to win again. And just that was a... I realized in that moment I was in a Star Wars cantina. We were completely different creatures from completely different planets. There was a competitive fire that burned in that human being, which he had more competitive fire probably in the discarded tip of his fingernail than I have had in my whole body all that time.
So in your book, you say, this might be another Wikipedia mistake, so tell me if I'm wrong. You say that you were driven to become an American citizen because of the United States performance at the 2014 World Cup.
Oh, America.
So if that led you to want to become an American citizen, what have the last 3 years of American soccer made you want to do? Like, did you storm the Capitol? Where were you on January 6th?
Where were you?
I can't provide any proof of my whereabouts. I think my mate Paulie Walnuts can vouch for me. I just say that on our dining room wall, we've got a photo of a gentleman from six generations ago. I think everyone says he's my great, 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 great grandfather. And I'm always like, I always used to say to my grandfather, I'd always say, who's that? And they'd be like, oh, we don't know his name. No one can remember his name. I'd be like, well, why do we have a photo of him? He'd be like, he's the Cossack killer. He's the one when the Cossacks came for us, he killed them all, saved the family. He's the Cossack killer. And I hope that in six generations' time, my NBC headshot will be on the wall over my family's dining room. And somebody will be like, who's that? Who's that guy? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, we don't remember his name, but he's the one. He's the one who brought the family to America. And that is genuinely my wish. It is. It's a weird thing to...
No, it's great.
...to say, yeah. But it's the greatest achievement of my life.
I also think, as an American, it's refreshing to hear that from time to time.
Yeah.
Because in the news, there's a lot of bad stuff that people are always talking about. You know, there's certainly some things we could be doing better as a country. But a lot of times you lose the perspective that it is, you know, a symbol of hope for a lot of people who would change their entire lives just to become a citizen here. I think that it's important to, like, remind yourself of the luck that we have growing up in this country.
You know, when I became a citizen in 2018, to stand in that line with, like, 243 other human beings from 63 countries, you know, I just survived being beaten up in a late-night chip shop after the pub shut in Liverpool. That was, like, my big survival, of being beaten by a teacher, a bit like the nuns in the Blues Brothers. That was my big survival. But you would look left and right, and you really did see human beings who had crawled across deserts, who'd survived civil wars, who had, like, crawled here, driven by that same notion of America, that joy, that wonder, that sense of possibility. And so what you say, you know, it's a tiny bit sincere for this show, so I'm going to dial it back in. But my life, it has been very much like the first half of Scarface. It's like, it's just...
And oh,
I'm,
no.
And yes. I'm incredibly...
What about the second half?
I always turn it off. It has. It's been like that. And I'm so... There's not a day I don't wake up in Manhattan and take for granted the opportunity to live here.
Well, you were in your bedroom just looking at the Statue of Liberty. Yeah. That city is like a big pussy that's just waiting to be fucked,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The world is yours. Roger Bennett.
It's Scarface, not me.
I love it. Everyone go buy the book.
Roger, I'm quoting cinema.
Yeah. Everyone go buy the book, Reborn in the U.S. It is out now, as you're listening to this.
I actually think that you're a bigger coup for the United States. Like, getting you over here is bigger for me personally than Prince Harry. We got both you guys.
Yeah, we were both. I was the player to be named later in that trade.
Yeah, Piers, a bag of balls.
Piers Morgan.
For a bag of balls.
No, it's Piers. America said, take Piers Morgan back, please, for the love of fucking God. Get rid of Morgan. And England had to cough up Harry and a player to be named later. And I am that.
Cap consideration.
I can give you a good three innings of middle relief.
Yeah, I love it. All right, well, Roger, everyone go check out the book. It's fantastic. Oh. Also see him on NBC Sports all the time, Men in Blazers. If you don't watch that show, I don't know what the hell you're doing. You're not a real soccer fan. And thank you.
Oh, and thank you.
And start drinking Coors Light.
Hang loose.
And start drinking Coors Light. Coors Light.
America.
Roger Bennett was brought to you by...
We're going to get right back to the show.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, back to Part of My Take.
Now here he is, Joe Tessitore.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. You have heard him in your living room. He has brought you some of the biggest sports moments. It is Joe Tessitore. He's a broadcaster for ABC, ESPN, and Holy Moly with Steph Curry and Rob Riggle is out Thursday, June. What's today's date? It's
16th.
June 17th. Yeah. Tess, you just said that you were on a bunch of different radio shows. We are going to make sure that
Big Cat, worse than that. Radio shows are fine, bro. I just did 11 straight local news hits, and local news is like, I don't know about you guys, but like local news is its own beast now.
Yeah.
Like the way they talk, the way they do, like, it's very, very sugary. So I am happy to be sitting right now chilling with you guys because that is mind numbing.
Yeah,
right there.
Let the expletives fly if you want. Drop as many cuss words as you want on this show.
That is mind numbing stuff.
Were you able to keep track of the different cities that you were doing the interviews in?
Yeah, you want me to give you a quick here? Let me give you. You rank these if you were doing local news. You ready?
Okay, all right, here we
ready.
Go.
All right, so we busted. We opened up with Portland. Very, very sweet.
Yep.
In fact, a traffic reporter joined in because her son is a big fan of the show. Likes Holy Moly. Likes Wriggle and the whole thing. Very, very sweet people. But anytime you get the traffic reporter involved in like the, you know, the entertainment segment, that's where my career is, by the way. Dallas, Philly, New York, San Francisco, Buffalo, claiming that it's always beautiful in Buffalo.
Yep. Facts.
Rockford, Illinois.
Rockin'
Rockford, Illinois.
Shout out Fred Van Vliet.
Sacramento. Yeah. Sean in Rockford, Illinois. Nice guy. Sacramento. Wichita, Kansas, huge Rob Riggle fans. Huge. The whole KC.
He plays out there,
And then your boy Mark at WLS, ABC, Chicago.
Gotcha. Okay, so nice. I like getting the traffic guy involved. Was he in the helicopter when he did it?
No. Now, I would have been all for that, and I would have gone along with that. But no, this was like, you know, the traffic lady who's up at the green screen and you know, the son's a big fan of the show, so she wanted to get involved, talk some Holy Moly.
So all right, so Holy Moly, it's, you know, it's the perfect summertime television. I hope that's not a diss, but I really truly believe it. Yeah. I love those summertime shows. So Rob Riggle, Steph Curry, but is there a moment you went to, you know, journalism school, you're a Big J, Monday Night Football, you've done big time college games, you've done boxing, all these things. Are you like, wait, what am I doing here?
No, so just the opposite, Big Cat. So for me, it was like, I think I had done a championship fight that weekend, and my guy out in LA is like, hey, man, folks at ABC want you to come down Monday for a meeting. I'm like, what's the pitch? And he's like, it's extreme mini golf. I'm like, come again with that? It's extreme. We're taking mini golf and we're supersizing it. I'm like, that is so ridiculous that that's like an automatic yes for me. So I loved it. And listen, you know the deal with this. When between Monday Night Football and the SEC and the boxing, we take so seriously when we broadcast. Like the Twitterverse is ready to explode over everything. So for me, hanging with Riggle and busting balls on people out on a mini golf course who are getting their faces smashed in and falling into freezing cold water, it's the greatest departure of just enjoying myself I've ever had with a mic on. It's fun, man. Riggle's a blast.
It's a great juxtaposition with the patented Joe Tessitore big game voice announcing mini golf. Some people say that you've got the big game voice, which lends credence to any game that you're calling. Other people say it's the Tess effect, meaning that just when you're up in the booth, crazy stuff happens around you. It's like a chicken or the egg situation. Which one do you think? Do you think that you bring the magic? Or do you think
No, I think I've just been working for a long time, and I got bills to pay. So I'm out on the road every week doing enough sports where you're going to catch some awesome games and some fun stuff's going to happen. And then because my personality as a broadcaster tends to be, you know, excitable reaction and big, you know, they associate those things with me. But listen, man, I'm the son of an Italian immigrant who grew up in a big family in New York where we were loud on Sunday dinners. We were competitive. We like having fun. So it's just my nature to sort of react that way when there's drama, games on the line, or big plays happening. It's a big knockout.
Okay, because I heard a different story. I heard that occasionally you're liable to sprinkle some of your magic Joe Tessitore dust out on the field to make the game start being exciting.
No, PFT, that I like goofing around with the crew. That I like, the little magic dust to see if we can get overtime. Yeah, I love the – you know what I really like when you're sitting up there and you're broadcasting a football game is when you're looking up at the scoreboard and you got the oddball score and we're sitting there in a commercial break and you hit the talk back and you say to your buddies, the director and the producer, you're like, if we get this and that and this – alarm – if we get this and that and this, we could get 8 points this way and then a field, like trying to work your way towards overtime as the game plays out. That I enjoy. I'm always rooting for overtime. Always rooting for overtime. Hey, by the way, you guys have totally taken over the world now. I'm sitting back watching what you guys have done the past few years. I know it's the first time I've been on with you guys, but it's incredible what you guys have done. And I wake up this morning, I'm seeing $60 million podcast deal. God bless everybody.
Yeah.
God
yeah, bless that wasn't us, but yeah.
Man.
Yeah, thank
it wasn't you,
you
but it's going to, hey, it's going to be you soon enough.
Yeah.
I mean, this is some serious stuff you guys have created now.
All right. So thank you. Your check that we sent for you to say that will be in the mail. All right. So you just mentioned something when you were talking about how, you know, doing serious games, you're not worried, but, you know, everyone takes everything you say very seriously. I've always wondered when you're in the broadcast booth, accidents happen. I actually think that we're too hard on broadcasters in general, just because you're doing 3.5 hours, 4 hours of a game. There's going
to
be.
I'm allowed to return business text while we're having our conversation.
Yes, yes. Something's going to be, screwed up. Something's going to you're going to screw up a name. How much does it suck though when you do screw something up and you're like, all right, everyone's going to run with this, like the decaf Metcalf flub on Monday Night Football. Yeah, are you like? Do you beat yourself up about it in the moment?
No, I mean, yeah, you want everybody wants to pitch a no-hitter and have fun and you know, have fun while still pitching the no-hitter and be perfect. But you learn it comes with the territory. And I think I've had some great producers and great friends as analysts who guide me. I mean, I'm a pretty intense guy. So, yeah, in the moment, you may be beating yourself up a little bit, but then you reflect on the real world and life, and you just let it go. Yeah, listen, Booger McFarland's like a brother to me. He's a dear friend. And I know he loves the two of you, and PFT, I know you guys have these battles, these Peloton battles,
yeah, he
right?
just kicks my ass, so it's not much of a – it's a one-way rivalry.
Dude, is he unbelievable for a guy that, like, was walking around at 330 pounds for what he's able to –
I think a lot of times we just forget that even defensive tackles, even the guys that you look at on a football field and you're like, wow, that guy's kind of fat. They're still like top 0.001% of athletes in the world.
Like, I look at his Peloton outputs. I'm like, how in the world is he producing these numbers? But anyways, the point being, Booger's got a great attitude. And he was very, very good for me in terms of, you know, when you're not satisfied, when you do make a mistake, what happens? Because he's just got a great attitude and great spirit about him. And he always brings that joyfulness every time he's on the air. And I think you see that in the work he's doing now. And I know you see that with the visits he's had with you guys. But, you know, long answer to a short question, but that's where my head's at with it.
Well, what about when Booger gets his hands on the Telestrator and you're watching him draw and you're like, oh, God, he's about to draw another penis. Like, dude, you nudge him and you're like, hey, man, maybe like make the shaft a little misshapen.
But yeah, when you have the two safeties over here and then you have the mm-hmm. right guy, yeah. I've been in that position. Now, you know what's funny about that? You should YouTube that. But Tracy Morgan actually did an ESPYs bit with me maybe about 3-4 years ago where that's exactly what he did. That was the bit, man. And you just – it was so friggin' funny. But Morgan crushed on that.
All right, so you came up with boxing. I'm curious this. You still obviously, I assume, love boxing.
Yeah, I got a flight to Vegas in like an hour.
There you go.
We got a championship fight Saturday night on ESPN.
So what do you make of all these celebrity boxing matches, you know, the Mayweather-Paul thing? Is it good or bad for boxing?
Well, the only part that's – I'm all for anybody. Boxing is unbridled capitalism, right? That's what it's always been. It's the Wild West. It's all cash grabs. I'm fine with the cash grab. I'm fine with exhibitions. Exhibitions have been going on in boxing for years. Ali used to do it. Heck, George Foreman fought 5 guys in one night. The exhibitions are never going to go away. It's pure entertainment. The problem is when the public actually believes they're watching a fight. I mean, Floyd Mayweather is sitting there telling you for a month, I retired from boxing 5 years ago. Like, I'm just, if they're going to pay me this money, I'll go in and just do this and carry the guy and dance around. But when the public actually thinks they're watching a fight and are talking about it as if it's a fight, buying it as if it's a fight, the coverage of it is as if it's an actual sporting event, that's where I don't go for it, where you're fooling the public on that. Floyd told everybody straight up what this was.
Yeah.
It's a flat out cash grab. But people then, like, people are sitting back like, what'd you think? I thought this and that. Like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, do you go to the week of the Pro Bowl and you're analyzing, like, you know, Joe Montana playing a beach touch game against other old retired, like, what? It's just an exhibition. Mm-hmm. It's a cash grab.
It's a good point. It's a good point. And I love boxing. I do think that boxing has suffered from not having that, like, allure of
a big time heavyweight champion that everyone is drawn to. You get a little bit of it with, you know, Tyson Fury, right? So, but it's just,
have you ever had Tyson Fury on?
Have not. No.
Oh my God. No, this guy's an all time character. You guys would be awesome with him. Awesome.
So what do you think it is? Because I do think that boxing still, like, if you told me that there was going to be a big-time, huge fight, heavyweight fight, I still think that that's a moment. Like, I've been to a big boxing, fight at MSG. Like, I've been to these that you can't – we went to McGregor, Mayweather in Vegas, which obviously is a little bit of exhibition, but also had the big fight feel. There is nothing truly like that. Like, it really is – in its own category. So how do we recapture that with boxing?
Listen, boxing really hasn't gone away. If you look at the money that fighters are making, that promoters are making, that that networks feed into it, what happened with boxing, and especially for our generation of sports fans, is that it was tucked away in the corner of premium cable and pay-per-view because of HBO's lead position for 35 years. So HBO and the promoters that were attached to them, and they did a wonderful job. I mean, Jim Lampley and everybody in that production, standard bearers of the sport, and they did a wonderful job with it. But what it did was it kept the same eyeballs that were willing to pay between $50 and $100 every single weekend in the sport. So for an entire generation, they only came and went from it for a few key events. But boxing has been actually... I would almost tell you in a golden era in the lower weight classes. And then recently with the emergence of Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder, now you're starting to get some compelling heavyweight fights again that do big business. Tyson Fury, July 24th, is fighting Wilder. It's a Fox ESPN share pay-per-view. If he gets through that, he's going to face Anthony Joshua in what's going to be a global mega event. They had the term set for August 14th. There were some legal actions that got in the way. The site fee for that fight alone is $155 million. So on the global stage, the sport has really never gone away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so if you were to design, like, what, I'll put it this way. What's your favorite sport to announce? Because you do it all. You do football. You do boxing. Yeah. So you've done horse racing, right?
Yeah, I did the Triple Crown on ABC and the Belmont for years, and now that's all over on NBC. Man, I love it all, but I like, I tend to lean to – I really love where there's something on the line, like – listen, I'm going to be out there and play a role for the McGregor-Poirier trilogy fight. Obviously, I do boxing in the offseason every week for ESPN and for pay-per-view. Love college football to no end. Love it to no end. Love the tradition and pageantry. So if I stay in my lanes where I have some level of expertise, passion, you know, genuine, authentic passion for it, that's where I want to be. And that's, I've been blessed in my career to do that. So when there's a great fight,
yep.
When somebody digs deep, when somebody gets up off the canvas and there's great drama and closes the show, the moment of a fighter closing the show, of stalking the prey and getting the knockout in Vegas with a championship on the line is tremendous. It's tremendous. Kickoff in the SEC at Bama or under the lights in the swamp or at LSU or Rocky Top, it's the opposite. Like the kickoff, the anticipation for college football, the pageantry, the lead up, that roar, I love equally as much.
So, all right. So sticking on college football, what's your favorite venue to call a game in, and maybe your favorite memory from that place?
Well, you know, favorite memory is more recent, and it stunned me and is shocking because, you know, I've done some awesome games, and the crews I've been on, we've been really blessed to do great games all over the place. And games are very meaningful with the national championship and right through the college football playoff. But, you know, you may know that my son plays for Jeff Hafley at Boston College. But last year when they were playing number one Clemson on the road and he pulled off the fake field goal, something about that we'll cherish forever. I happen to be in the booth calling the game on ABC. You know, you never expect it. You don't know it's coming. And here it is. My son did that. So I don't know that anything's ever going to top that for our family. Favorite place to call a game. Boy, those 40 years when the swamp was rocking was great. Great. I still love being high above at Bama. That's great. Kyle Field now is different. That place is different. I tend to be an SEC guy, right? I tend to love everything that comes with it. So I know Boog's going to kill me for saying nighttime in Baton Rouge, you know, is not the first thing that comes out of my mouth, but I may go with A&M, guys.
Wow.
I may go with A&M.
So,
yeah.
Well, on the other side of that coin, what area, what fan base do you hate the most? Because I know you probably get shit like our friend Joe Buck.
Hey, bro, I went to Boston College. My son plays for BC. So you know where Notre Dame stands in our house, all uh-huh. right, man? You know the way I view a trip to South Bend. I got a lot of friends who are Notre Dame guys. I've been close with a lot of folks through the years there with the Irish. But when you're a BC guy and you're on the other end of South Bend, that's a quick answer for me.
So you brought up your son. That was a great play. You mentioned earlier that, you know, if you screw something
hey,
up in
a,
the booth.
Hey, by the way, you know, my son's a kicker and punter and holder. That was a great effort by you last year getting out there on the field.
I appreciate it. You know, the man in the arena. Sometimes you don't really appreciate what's going on until you try a few kicks yourself.
What'd you think of it?
Well, so I used to kick, and I kicked when I played rugby for a while, so I knew that I was able to, like, not totally embarrass myself, so right. I was just happy that I didn't, like, fall down.
You had a very – so you did some things that, like, are just so naturally good, like your jab step and your drive step, very, very natural. Did you ever go live? Did you go full live?
I didn't go full live, no. The try, what you see is what you get. I think there were five okay. kicks. I think I made three of them. The other two were very narrow misses. Would have been good on a high school upright, which is what I trained on. Not making excuses, but I went out there to execute. And your son, he's a kicker. He's also a running back because he did get that first down. When you were announcing that game, did – like, as a play-by-play guy, you got to be prepared for everything, right? Did you have any inside information that this was a play that they might be running?
No, PFT, that's actually one of the great tags to the story is that, you know, John didn't tell me anything the whole week. And the whole week, you know, I'm sitting there prepping, and I'm with Dabo, and I'm with Venables, and I'm with that whole side of the world. And then I get to production meetings with Boston College. And the whole week, we were just never talking football. He was getting ready to do his thing with his teammates. I'm preparing for my broadcast. So I go down there afterwards. I walk across the field. I make it over outside the locker room, and he comes out. And he is hot like a hornet because, remember, they were up by 18 points, and they lose in a tight one at the end. Although you were probably catching the big number there, Big Cat, I'm hoping.
I can't remember what I had in that game. I think I might have had BC. Yeah, I think I had BC in that number.
Yeah, should have been catching double digits there and laughing all day long. Anyways, and I said to him, hey, man, no heads up on that. He goes, I couldn't tell you. I knew it was in all week long. It was in the playbook all week long. But no, he didn't give me the heads up on it at all.
Wow. We've got a guy in our studio right now, Jake Marsh. He works with us. He's a play-by-play guy. He's a trained play-by-play guy. He went to Syracuse. He's a Big J journalist. I'm sure he has some questions for you, but do you have any advice specifically for Jake?
No, I don't. I'm sure he's kicking ass and he's going to do fine. And those Syracuse guys, you know, that's the assembly line of knowing how to do it. I didn't study journalism. I didn't study communications. I was in the school of management with everybody who's now working at a hedge fund. I have a business degree. But I just believe that a lot of times when it comes to this, when the red light goes on, you're either going to be able to do it or you're going to piss down your leg. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I think, you know, you got to know sports inside and out. You have to work in the field. So the whole time I was in the school of management with all these guys that have crushed it on Wall Street now for the last 25 years, you know, I was sitting there doing college radio, doing play-by-play, getting in my crappy Oldsmobile and driving down to Texas during breaks to work in a non-union shop just so I could get experience in the local news and just learning in the field. And I think that, you know, for somebody like that, I think the more you do it, the better you get. And I'm sure he's already really good.
All right. So Jake, do you have a question? Because we basically, like, you have a Big J journalism question, right? Yeah, all yeah. right.
How's it going, Joe? Big fan.
Hey, man. He likes to go by Tess. Tess.
And also, Jake, let's try to remain neutral here as journalists.
Yeah.
You can't say that you're a fan right off the bat.
Right.
Stay neutral. Thank you.
How's it going, Tess? Thank you for taking
it's
the time.
Well. Going well.
So when I'm calling games, sometimes I feel like I have the issue of maybe getting too excited at inappropriate times. Or I feel like you want to save your peak excitement for a game-winning touchdown, but when a touchdown happens at 14-7, I feel like I'm getting too loud as well. So how do you manage that
and saving it for the end? I mean, you want to be measured. You want to be appropriate. But, like, does any of this really matter, especially nowadays? Can we just be joyful? Do we have to have rules to everything? Can we? I mean, just be authentic and joyful and enjoy calling a game. And heck, everybody loves Gus Johnson, don't they, my man?
Yeah.
What?
I don't. I think he's terrible
at
football.
I don't know.
I think he's terrible at football.
Listen, I think if it's natural, Big Cat, if it's authentic and it's natural and it's good. You don't want to be out of control, obviously. Okay. You want it to be appropriate. But if it's authentic to who you are and that's your, I think anything that's contrived and forced, I call bullshit on. As long as it's authentic to who you are.
I agree with you there. I think you guys have a very hard job, but I do think at the end of the day, I want to be brought through the game and never have a moment where I'm like, whoa, he's trying too hard or he's doing something that like
that's it. It's taking away. Sit on it.
Right. And then, but the one thing that you guys have to deal with, and I'm going to give you a little tip here. You didn't ask for it, but gamblers. Now that gambling has become legalized everywhere, what Jake just described, like if I have a team and they score a touchdown and the announcer doesn't react in like an excited way, I get pissed. I'm like, dude, where's the juice?
You're on that
Where's
side.
The juice? Yeah, like I want some juice for this touchdown. So you guys are now entering a time when criticism probably going to get a little hot. I'll just throw it out there. I like to criticize.
No, listen, I think it's actually going to be – Big Cat, I actually think – that the growth of gambling and accessibility is going to be the best thing that happens to our business because nothing's going to be meaningless. Mm-hmm. There is no meaningless game. It doesn't matter what the score is. It also doesn't matter what the game is. It matters what the handle is, where the juice is, where the action is. So who cares if that game's on the number, if that game's teetering on the total, if that game's playing in that range? What does it matter now if you got a blowout? So that whole idea of blowout material, screw blowout material, man. If we're catching 24, who cares if it's a 28-point lead?
Agreed. So are you going to talk about it more openly? Because I know that we've always had Al Michaels as given the nods to it, but now that it's becoming legalized, it would be nice if announcers mentioned that stuff. Like that's a bit, even though it's a touchdown to take it from 28 to 21, the spread's 24.5, and that's a huge touchdown.
Yeah, listen, you do whatever the public demands. My whole thing is just serve the viewer. If that's where we are and that's what the viewer demands, then we serve the viewer. So if that's how they want to be spoken to and broadcast to, you know, we got great people wherever I've worked, ABC, ESPN, no matter where I work, who understand these things and they'll guide us. If I'm being told, hey, play to that, serve the fan that way, I absolutely will. And as you could probably tell, I could be a little too comfortable doing that. It's very much in my lane to play to that and to have an understanding.
Whoa, that was anti-Italian. That was anti-Italian, Joe.
Not anti-Italian. I grew up in Schenectady in New York. It doesn't take much of a Google search to understand the neighborhood I grew up in and who I grew up around. And I'm very well versed at that. I was reading the Daily Racing Form before I learned math, you know, so it's just who I am. It's what I like. I've spent most of my adult life in a casino in the off season. So, you know, like I said, I'm heading to Vegas in an hour here. So, you know, sitting there and glancing at the board is what I like to do. In boxing, I think it's actually, I actually like the players in boxing. And in boxing, we have gotten to this place now. When you watch the fight on Saturday night, I'll talk about the prop plays. I'll talk about the over under the total rounds. I'll talk about the money line. And I think it makes boxing an interesting watch as well. I think combat sports is a real good watch when you got juice.
Yeah.
Do you think that you're the most Italian person at ESPN?
Well, we got some beautiful cuisine at ESPN. We got some wonderful people because we're here in Connecticut and we have the densely Italian American population here. But I'm very, very proud of my heritage, my ethnicity. I'm very proud of the fact that I've had a career speaking English on national TV when my mother came here on a boat and couldn't speak English. And eight brothers and sisters had a total of $9. So when you guys can get yourself to Connecticut, come here. We'll fire up the wood-fired pizza. We'll make yourself some Navratana pizzas, and we'll hang out and talk sports in the backyard. Yeah, eat some pie.
I heard that you have a pizza oven in your backyard.
Love it, man. Love it. That is my passion. Like some guys, you like golf. I like making pies. I like opening up really good tequila, getting the wood fire going and spending a Saturday or Sunday with everybody coming over and just making pizza all day long and drinking all day long. That is how I want to spend a weekend.
I like that.
Sounds incredible, honestly.
I like that.
What's your summer go-to drink?
Ooh, any Coors, novelty drink.
Coors Light.
I like Coors Light.
I'm a Coors Light guy.
Coors Light seltzer.
Drink.
Coors Light. Yeah, no, I said Coors Light.
Coors Light, the mountains are blue.
Yep.
But also, if you were to twist my arm, any novelty drink that's served in like a punch bowl.
With New Amsterdam vodka.
With New Amsterdam vodka and like a giant beer that's like suspended in midair. But if you can serve me a drink that's in a non-traditional vessel,
I'll order it every time I see it.
Love that. But you're the coconut carb guy when you're on vacation in the Caribbean.
Yes.
You're the bit with us. Yeah, you're all in. Love it.
I have one last question for you, Tess. Everyone go check out Holy Moly. It's going to be on Thursday night.
Have we talked Holy Moly?
Yeah, Thursday. Yeah, we talked about it at the start, but I just threw it in there. That was a professional journalism thing I just did. Excellent. Holy Moly, Thursday night, Steph Curry, Joe Tessitore, Rob Riggle. Check it out. Awesome.
Can we just, Big Cat, can we pause for a moment? Can we just pause and think about the fact that ABC has literally handed the keys to us for 2 hours in prime time to do a 2 hours of extreme mini golf, wriggling myself up there doing this, and Steph Curry and this team like in craziest holes you could ever dream of. And this is 2 hours of national TV.
Love
this is what we are as a society.
It. Can you bet on it? Do they have lines on it?
Now, obviously, it's taped.
Right.
But let me tell you something.
Wait, what?
I'm very serious. Yeah, so it's, you know, obviously it's taped. That's entertainment.
Why do you say obviously?
But there's $250,000 is on the line. So, but it was taped. But let me, if we ever did a live finale, it would be the greatest live action betting
you could
ever.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So get it done.
Because you could bet on the obstacle, yes or no. Do they, like, can they run past the porta potties or get knocked in? You can bet on the stroke play. You can bet head to head. If we do a live season finale some year, that has to happen.
Get it in.
I love it.
All right. So my last question was,
yeah.
Kawhi Leonard had a dunk the other night, and Ian Eagle said it's a Kawhi light. Yeah. Do you – those type of, like, little jokes, puns, whatever you want to call them, do you plan those ahead of time, or you're like, all right, Kawhi's playing. If he does something sick,
I mean,
Kawhi light.
I just, like – you know, I get – you know, the one that they attached to me is you know, Texas is back, folks.
Yeah.
When it was the double overtime. You know, years ago when they had the Notre Dame game double overtime Sunday nighter on ABC, monstrous rating, great, and you know, Swoops brought it in. And just in that moment, remember, Notre Dame was top 10. Texas thought that they were going to be like, here we go. We got this thing where we want it and the program, and here's this signature win. And instead of doing the play-by-play, I just did that. So I just always react in the moment, and Texas is still waiting to get back. We'll see. But I just always react in the moment. But the one thing with Holy Moly that I love, mostly, you guys talked to Riggle, right?
Yeah.
Riggle's part
he's
of
been on, yep.
I mean, he is so good to just sit there and chill with and laugh with. He's so quick-witted. He's so funny. So with Holy Moly, there's no scripting of anything. Like, they just start rolling from the moment we walk on the set, and it never stops. And then they just take this mountain of stuff that we film overnight from 7 p.m. till 5:30 in the morning. Half the time we're delusional. We've got a lack of oxygen to the brain because we need to sleep. And they cut that thing down and put it on ABC. And it's just all on the fly. It's just all ad-lib, react to what you're seeing and have fun with it. And he's taught me a lot about how to do, you know, I got to do the straight man comedy to his bits.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nuance to that, but he's a joy to work with.
Mm-hmm. Just one little thing that maybe you could use.
Yeah,
we used this in our cornhole broadcast the other week. Big Cat was playing cornhole. And
yeah.
I was doing color. So I think you made like.
Is this on YouTube? Can I go back and watch it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you made four cornholes in a row.
Yep.
And I was
Mr.
like,
Mr. Hole.
I was like, that's Mr. Hole. You should call somebody Mr. Hole.
You know, we had a hole last year called Uranus.
Ooh,
and this year we have a hole called, it's a woodpecker themed hole that's simply called the Pecker.
Mm.
So I could use some advice as to how to deal with those. You know, we actually, the producers on Holy Moly this year, I think it's in this Thursday night at 8 o'clock episode, there's a hole called cornhole. So they said, hey, everybody loves cornhole. Everybody loves a good tailgate, summer fun, you know, drinking beer. Corn. So we'll do a cornhole themed hole. And they've got the ear of corn is like 30 foot long, and they replaced the kernels. Like every third kernel is now a car airbag. So as you're running past the thing, you get launched. I mean, absolutely launched. I think that's actually on the episode that airs Thursday night.
Okay, that's a great tease. But just use Mr. Hole. Mr. Hole is a good nickname. I think it plays.
Mr. Hole. Yeah.
All right. Well, Tess, this has been awesome.
Why don't you guys come out to the filming in California next year? We'll put you on some of these holes.
I mean, I'm in theory. What time of year do you film?
We film like the whole month of March. You know, Steph comes out a little bit. Riggle and I are there every day. But yeah, in March. You come out to LA one day in March. we throw you on some of these holes, you have a blast, and we go.
All right, counterpoint, March Madness.
Well, that you're 4 hours away from Vegas, and you could get stupid in Vegas betting on March Madness.
Counterpoint. I don't know if ESPN will let us back on the air or the Disney family.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. They
That's
might
why
get
I
some
said
letters.
No, initially, because I don't want to get hurt again.
Okay. I'll let you guys deal with that.
All right. Well, Tess, thank you so much. We'll be tuning in. Holy moly. And appreciate your time.
Guys, congratulations on all your success. Really, honestly, keep it up, man.
Thank
Congrats.
You. Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much.
Great to see
all
you.
Right, be well.
Thanks, Bye. Fam.
Joe Tessitore is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. When you sign up on ZipRecruiter.com, you can create a free profile. Then you get matched to great jobs, plus you get a lot more. If you're looking for a job, it can be really frustrating. I know, I've been there. It sucks. You have to take a lot of time applying. You have to wait to hear back from people. You might be applying to jobs that are not really what you want, but you're confused by the listing. It's really just a minefield. It's not a great place to be, but tell you what, ZipRecruiter can make it easy. They can take all that sweat off your back. They will help you out because unlike with other job sites, if an actual person from the company really likes what they see, they can personally invite you to apply to their job. And candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. So go to ZipRecruiter.com, sign up for free, put ZipRecruiter to work for you. And don't forget, you can even search Barstool and apply now for upcoming internship opportunities. No matter what type of job you're interested in, experience the better way to find it when you go to ZipRecruiter.com.
All right, let's wrap it up. We got some guys on chicks, and then Billy, whatever you got for us. Henry.
What happens to you on the toilet? Why so sweaty?
What?
Why do guys sweat on the toilet?
I don't sweat on the toilet.
I mean, sometimes.
Like if it's hot.
Or if I've eaten something really spicy.
That girl's guy is doing something.
He's jacking off
he's
on the toilet.
He's doing something. He's doing something.
Blow.
Something's going. He's doing toilet, all his push-ups.
Little toilet blow.
He's doing his push-ups on his toilet.
Why? How does she know how sweaty he is on? Is this like Blumpkin territory?
I don't know. Why are guys so sweaty on the toilet? Are you guys sweaty on the toilet?
Occasionally, I mean.
Hey, if you got to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
But nah.
After a big meal, maybe. I'm just sweaty in general.
Yeah.
Hi. Now you can tell. I'm not going to say it.
All what? Right,
a lot of exclamation points in this paragraph.
Uh-oh.
Hi. Huge fan of the pod. Actually, my top now. Exclamation point. My question I have is, what moment sticks out for you as your most embarrassing Barstool experience ever? Thanks so much, Caitlin.
Most embarrassing experience here. I'd say probably when...
every time that Hanks posts a picture of me. It's probably mine.
I had a bad picture.
Post some great pictures, yeah.
I had a bad picture in Hong Kong. Made me reconsider a lot of choices. When Billy posted my penis.
Molly at a rugby game.
No, that part was fun. If I had been like 15 pounds lighter, that would have been the best decision of my life.
Yeah, probably every time Hank posts a picture of me, that sucks a lot. Also, anytime I get duped online, that always sucks. That always burns a little bit. Although I'm kind of over it now, but there's definitely been a few times where like, shit, shouldn't have retweeted that.
What about like peeing your pants on camera?
No, that was funny. That was just straight funny. I guess I was a little poop. Embarrassed.
No,
yeah,
I mean,
well,
I,
allegedly.
The Caps won the championship.
Mm-hmm. I would say actually
the national championship.
When Erica and Dave had to like have a real conversation with me about peeing in the sink, that was a little embarrassing. Like that did suck.
That was a weird month when we were like, it's funny that Big Cat pisses in the sink.
But it was. But we were in an office with 100 people in two bathrooms.
It was an obscene situation. It was actually a fire code issue.
Yes, so I was actually helping everyone.
Right,
and I was running the water and soap every time,
and saving money on the water bill.
Right, exactly. So
you were looking out for the bottom
bullshit.
Line.
It hurts. It did hurt a little bit.
If you hadn't pissed in the sink, that probably would have cost our company at least like $20 million in valuation when we got purchased.
Yeah, that's true. So also, getting our TV show canceled after one episode.
That was, I feel like that was more embarrassing in the first like 5 minutes, but then once I realized how much less work we had to do, it became pretty cool.
Yeah, that one kind of sucked. Wait, they're showing, never mind. All right, keep going.
Hey, PMT crew, why does ice cream soothe a lady's menstruation?
Is that true? Because then if that's true, I must be on my period all the time.
I don't know. According to this question, it is.
By soothe, does that mean, like, alleviates cramps?
Yeah, I don't, and I also don't know if she means eating it or like applying it.
Oh, like putting it inside.
Yeah. Let me just be
probably yeah. She's probably totally sitting down in here. A pint of ice cream.
Let me be totally upfront here. Like, periods to me are on the same level as like trying to understand the universe. Nah,
just exists.
Yeah, it's just I don't. If you think about it too much, your brain will start to hurt.
It's the red planet.
So I stay away from it. I stay away from it.
Yeah. I think it's honestly just a matter of ice cream makes everything better.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, how come ice cream like alleviates my nipple pain?
Yeah.
Like, well, because it's ice cream. How come ice cream makes me happy when my favorite team loses? Well, because it's ice cream.
Right. Yeah.
When in doubt, get a pin. All right. Is it weird my boyfriend picks his dingleberries and tries to get me to sniff them?
Yes.
Kind of weird.
Is he
the coach of Germany's national team?
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Hello. How will PFT's ownership status of the Packers be affected with this new involvement with the football team?
It's a matter of business with the Packers. I look after the bottom line, and with the football team, I'm part of the fan network. Although,
what's the new involvement with the football team?
I'm a football ambassador for the football team. Which,
why?
Because
you got duped.
I didn't really get duped.
Tell the story.
So I want to support the football team, and they asked me if I want to be on the council of fans, and I said sure. And I was like, this will be cool. Maybe it's like
what?
Maybe it's
no.
like me. Maybe it's like me, Kevin Durant, Wale, Matthew McConaughey. And
you
then,
thought this was like all
and then I get,
celebrity fans.
And then I got on the Zoom call with Ron Rivera, and he's like, congratulations, you're our celebrity fan. And I was like, this is depressing for the Washington football team that I am the celebrity
fan. Who else
fan.
Is in it?
A bunch of fans, which is great. I love the fans.
Wow.
So I don't know. Is this going to affect my journalistic integrity?
You were like,
he thought he'd get on a Zoom call with Kevin Durant and Matthew.
You thought you were like, this is going to be sick. I'm going to have meetings with all these A-listers. I'm an A-lister now. And then you're like,
no, not at all. I thought that
you kind of did in the back of your head.
No, I didn't.
You kind of were like,
absolutely.
Of course they asked me.
Absolutely.
And Kevin Durant and Matthew McConaughey.
Absolutely not. But I was thinking, who are the other, like, who are the biggest name football team fans that there are? And none of them are
It didn't
on this list.
At any moment, like, because it, like, just you explaining it before you even got to the end, it struck me as, like, the Washington football team basically doing something for PR to be like, hey, we have fan ambassadors.
Yep.
We're listening to the fans.
Yeah. No, that's exactly
you
what
didn't,
it is.
You didn't realize that?
No, but I got to have a Zoom call with Ron Rivera.
Got it.
What does it feel like?
What sucks is I think I might have to do work now.
Yeah, no, I say no to, like, whatever. I assume this was maybe a. KM asked you to do this?
Yeah, she was involved.
Yeah. I'm just like, nah.
What does it feel like to come as a man?
Awesome.
Yeah, pretty good.
Like ice cream. Actually, ice cream's better.
It feels, I mean, it's just, it's real good.
This is weird.
Yeah.
Guys on checks, I'm answering the question.
Hey, describe your orgasm.
Well, it makes sense. It's a chick would want to know that.
In intricate detail, what it feels like to come, Hank.
Feels great. Lightheaded.
It's kind of like when you hit a home run in baseball and you don't really feel the ball hit the bat.
Touch them all?
Yeah, touch them all. Oh, yeah. That's pretty much what I can say.
You're floating?
Immediate never regret done right either. After. Hey, fellas. I'm currently on vacation alone in Florida and waiting for my family to get down here. I'm 28 years old and can't decide if I should just go to a random bar and get shit-faced. What is the appropriate age range to do this?
As a woman?
Go get shit-faced by yourself?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'd say it's
waiting
all.
For her family, though. She's not, like, depressing. She's
waiting
else to
for
do.
Family.
Yeah.
Well, it's
yeah.
also, but okay, so this is actually a tricky one, because I think that there's, the age range is irrelevant. It's more that if you get fucked up, and then your family shows up, and they're like, wait, you're fucked up by yourself, they're all going to just immediately think you have a problem. So you got to be careful on that end.
Especially because they can't drink on planes anymore.
Right. So they're all going to be like, wait, what happened sober. Here? Why are you fucked up?
If you show up, if your family's going to show up drunk, then I think it plays.
Right.
But was she asking, can I go out by myself like all night and get drunk and then go back home? Or is she just waiting for her family that very day?
I think you just got to eat a lot of ice cream. Like that really would be the point.
I also think it's more acceptable to go and get shit-faced by yourself outside than it is indoors.
In terms of age in general, I feel like it's, I said this the other day, I think it's like 32, 33 is right around when you can't be the, like, you're the drunkest guy at the party guy.
Right. At that point, in the back of everybody's head, it's like, this guy has a problem.
Yeah, like, oh, shit. Like, what's up with him? Like, why is he by far the most wasted?
And meanwhile, the second most wasted guy's like, that guy's cool.
Right.
That guy's
right,
hilarious.
Right, right. So I think that's probably the age cutoff for being drunkest person at the party.
That's it.
All right, Billy, anything to wrap up?
So Rick Pitino is actually kind of in a bad place. He just lost to Canada. And everyone's saying that once Giannis came to play for the Greek national team, that would be his, like, saving grace. That kind of didn't work out.
Yikes.
So his Olympic hopes are kind of dashed. Guess who else is Greek?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Philip the First.
We know him how?
Oh.
Is that Prince's dad?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
He's Greek?
Wait, so how is he in the royal family?
He was born in Germany?
He's like a mail order prince. For the queen, seriously.
Wow.
So the queen was horny.
Yeah. Wow. And they just brought him over.
I'll say this. She got a stud.
Also.
Wait, why is this guy giving the ball to Dak Prescott? He doesn't need a. Oh, he's signing it. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
Also, the woman who put the sign up that caused a crash slipped through French authorities' fingers and escaped the country.
Oh, really? She escaped from the French?
Yep.
Crazy.
And to that. I think it was to damage all the mini motors in some of the people's bikes. There's
Billy.
Just this new thing called, like, so once Lance Armstrong got caught for doping, there's this new thing called moto doping where they put tiny motors inside the bikes.
Like Seamless and DoorDash.
No, like tiny.
No, I know. Those
yeah,
guys.
Yeah. Yeah, but like the bikes that go through the city, they use small little motors.
Yeah, but like ones you can't even see.
Nano motors.
So a crash would be a good way to destroy all the tiny motors. I saw it on 60 Minutes once.
Wow.
And female hyenas have penises.
Wow. All right. Shout out. Love is love.
All right. Quick reminder.
It's Pride Month. Aren't they called Prides of Hyenas?
Yeah, that's true.
Wild.
I think they might be a cackle.
Interesting.
Is cackle? That true?
Yeah, I think it's a cackle.
Cackling.
Yeah, pride is a lion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was close.
Okay, so Friday we have Tim Woods. Awesome Dungeons & Dragons. No show Monday. Back on Wednesday and Friday. So that's the schedule for the 4th of July week. But we will have a show on Friday. It will be a new show. All right, let's do numbers.
59.
99.
86.
18.
Give me
69.
8.
Have we ever had a 74?
Welcome to the three-time club, 74.
Whoa.
Love you guys.
Talking away. I don't know what to say. I'll say it anyway. Today's another day.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.